I want to say how thankful I am for each one of you. So glad that there wasn't a large number that God required to be in our presence. So thankful for the two or three. Desire your prayers for the Lord to anoint His word this morning. I had a word catch my attention this week, and the word was excellent. So I want to briefly give some defining remarks about the word excellent. I'd like for us to have a little deeper meaning of that word in our lives. It is in the Bible. The word excellence can also be excellence. They both mean the same. It is a state or quality of excelling. It means superior or exceptionally good or outstanding. It also means perfection. So as we consider these two words or one word with spiritual things, it's in the word of the Lord, excellent spirit. Also excellent speech. Excellent wisdom. An excellent ministry. Excellent sacrifice. So those are some of the, there's others, but those are just a few that we want to identify. This word excellence is really the standard, and actually the whole standard of God Himself. God Himself is, as we all know, is absolutely perfect. And He's interested in you and me being perfect. Perfection is something that He speaks of. And in human perfection is so far short of what God is. Now, the scripture tells us that His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And it's something that we're maybe always reaching forth and reaching for, pressing. Another scripture says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. So perfection, it needs to be our purpose and desire to those places in our life that are not perfect, to reach forth for God to help us. The only way that man can be perfect is in his striving to be, I read this, upright and sincere of heart and unblameable in the course of life through Christ. In other words, there are people that are called perfectionist, and they try to be perfect in and there's words for it that really describe people that want everything perfectly in place and not out of place. And one of our granddaughters is sort of a perfectionist in that way, and Lauren was not a perfectionist in his office. His He says he always knew where everything was, but it looked like an array of imperfection. And so he goes to this granddaughter's house, and here her silverware is perfectly. So, you know, man can strive for perfection, but and we can attain those kind of perfections, but when it comes to spiritual things, we can only do it through the help and grace of God. And because his standard for himself is perfection. So 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, it says, all these things happened for in samples, or examples, I put examples, and are written for our admonition. That's just a little portion of that verse, because all that we have spoken of has to do with being an example to follow. All that is written in the Word of God, the instructions that are given, what is said here in samples, which means examples, they're taken for a pattern for you and me to imitate. And it's like the Word of the Lord, or the examples that are given in the Word of the Lord, are like models for us to copy or follow. This word example comes from a Latin word called specimen. And I never really had read that before or had that example, but, you know, we think of the word specimen or example. It's something that becomes, it's a representation of what is, this is the definition, what is excellent in the eyes of God. And a specimen is one that we can say, this is what you can look at and follow, and you can work with this, and you can look at it. Maybe the children might have Lego kits, and they might see a specimen of what they're wanting to put together and design. And they look at that and they study it. And they say, I can make one just like that. Well, God wants us to look at certain examples in the Word of the Lord that are excellent, that are all of these things, you know, perfect. Perfect example, something that speaks to us and says, well, Paul said it. He said, I want you to follow me as I follow Christ. Well, we know all of Paul's example, where he came from, where he once was, where the experience on the way to Damascus changed him drastically and forever. And he became a different man, so much so his name was Saul and it was changed to Paul. And it represented a specimen that we could look at and we could see, yes, he was a man, he had humanity, but he became such an example that God was pleased with his life. How many of us are willing to say to others, I want you to follow me? Well, we've heard admonitions to not follow man. But it wasn't the man. It was the fact that he was following someone else that was perfect. And it affected his life completely to his death. You know, the Spirit of the Lord is desiring for each one of us to follow some things that are perfect, to allow the hand of God to shape us and mold us and fashion us and change us. There is not one of us that doesn't need some sort of change. Yes. As our humanity is revealed. Yes. And it takes the Spirit of the Lord, and it's an excellent spirit. It's perfect. And it is only through that excellent, perfect Spirit of God that we are able to make any adjustments to our life at all. Yes. And I thank the Lord. Looking back over my life, listen, I have not been perfect. And yet, God wants us to be perfect. And so he begins to shape us and mold us. And he does things, sends things into our life. And if we receive those things and acknowledge them and embrace them, you know, that's when the changes will come. And he will begin to, I know I've said it here several times, especially of late, but it's just been ever present on my mind of being a vessel unto honor, unto God's honor, not my reputation, but being a vessel that will bless God and will be that ensample or that example to others that are looking on. So, I want to be a specimen that can say to others, if you see me following Christ, you do it too. And it makes me think of Brother Willie Murphy. Brother Willie was, Brother Willie and Sister Frances Murphy were very special to our family. Especially to my mother and her three daughters when they were alone after mother's husband passed, and Brother Willie and Sister Frances were very attentive to my mother and the three girls, and my three sisters just fell in love with Brother Willie. I'm going to tell this part because it had effect on my family, but the three girls, you know, they wanted a father. They wanted a dad. And so they said to mother, they were just little, why don't you marry Brother Willie? Mother says, well, he already has a wife, Sister Frances. Well, she can come too. And they just loved them. And that's how we grew up, hearing stories of what Brother Willie and Sister Frances did for my mother and her children, and it endeared them to us. And to this day, we have fond memories of Brother Willie and Sister Frances and their whole family. Well, Brother Willie was one that he was a godly man. And, you know, he would say to his sons, if you see me doing it, you do it. If you see me not doing it, don't you do it. That's the kind of example. That's the kind of specimen that he was before his own children. So you can do that for your children. You see me doing it, it's okay. I'm going to be following the one that says it's okay. But if you see me not doing it, don't you go do it. So that's my memory of Brother Willie. So I'm going to read in Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 43 to 48. And the little title out to the side of
the margin,
it says it's the divine standard. So, starting with verse 43, it says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans?" And then verse 48, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." So that's the divine standard that we have to reach for, because in our humanity we're going to be tempted to follow. We're going to love those that love us, and we're going to not have the goodwill. You know, that word goodwill has sort of played a part in my mind the last few months, and it's very easy to not have goodwill. You may say, well, I don't have ill will toward them, but do I have goodwill? Goodwill is something very special, and it is God-given, and that is part of the message that he gave to the world when Jesus came. Goodwill to all men. And for you and me to have this divine standard, to be this specimen and have this goodwill toward all men, it takes something more than I have within my humanity. It takes the grace of God. It takes that which only God can do for me, because he's perfect. And he is wanting me to strive for that same perfection, and not just have goodwill to those who have goodwill toward me, but to have goodwill toward all men, even to those which despitefully use us. This is a challenge to us, is it not? Because we're going to be tempted to feel otherwise. And sometimes we may even behave otherwise. So we need to strive to follow a perfect will of God. So this is what we've said up to this point, is just sort of a foundation for the remaining part of our little thought this morning. But I would like to turn our thoughts now with the consideration of excellent spirit and an example, an ensample, and a being a specimen that we could set up and say, I that's what I need to be, or that's what I need to strive to be. So I want us to think about the life of Daniel. And I'm just going to, I've just picked out some verses and tried to put it together that we might just get a little central thought and see and understand that Daniel had an excellent spirit. And so I'll just read what I have chosen out of the book of Daniel. "There were certain of the children of Israel of the king's seed and of the prince's children in whom was no blemish." Now, that's a specimen. I don't believe Well, they were probably referring to no blemish physically, but I believe that these that were chosen, the children of Israel, that in the captivity, they were also chosen because they had an excellent spirit. They were, well, let's go on reading. But well-favored and skilled in all wisdom and cunning in wisdom and understanding, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace. Now these were the children of Judah, Daniel, and I'm using the new names of the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel purposed in his heart he would not defile himself. He was a specimen to follow. He had an excellent spirit. Now God brought Daniel into favor with the prince of the eunuchs. And as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And the king communed with them. And among them all was found none like Daniel and these three Hebrew children. They're outstanding. They were an excellent specimen that we can look to and say, I need to be that way. Now take note, and this sort of went with some of the comments of the Sunday school this morning. I appreciated the Sunday school. Did you know that wisdom and understanding, you're not born with it? You may have the ability to learn. I believe that certain people are born with a gift to learn easily. We might call them intelligent. These young men, I would say, were intelligent because God allowed them and gave them the ability to be intelligent, to learn. But as was brought out in the Sunday school lesson, in order to have that wisdom, you have to hear. You have to have that listening heart, listening ear, and then you apply it. You hear it and you apply it to wisdom. And that's part of this excellent spirit that Daniel had and the three Hebrew children. They had listening ears. And you know, over in the New Testament, Jesus said it many times. He would give maybe a parable and he would say, what would he say next? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, delve into this and find out the wisdom and the knowledge that is underneath this parable, and you'll learn. And so that's what these young men did. They were wise. They were cunning in knowledge. They had understanding. So now let's go on. The king, just briefly, the king had a dream, and we know that the king couldn't remember the dream. He knew he had a dream, but he did not know what the dream was. And he wanted his magicians and his wise men to come and tell him what he dreamed. And they said, he wanted the interpretation also. And it said, the Chaldeans said, there is not a man upon the earth that can shew the king's matter. And we know that, you know, this particular place coincides with what Joseph was a man of excellent spirit. And Joseph did very similar things. God used Joseph in very much the same way that he did Daniel. He was in leadership, high leadership. Daniel was in high leadership. So here we have Now we're going to skip on down in that particular chapter and just give this. I mean, the king said, we're going to kill everybody and that can't tell me what my dream is. And that included Daniel and the three Hebrew children. But it said Daniel went to his house and he made the thing known to his companions that they should, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven and said, blessed be the name of God forever, for wisdom and might are his. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who have given me wisdom and might and hast made known unto me now what we desired. Oh, you know, when we do feel that God, do we have to seek for the wisdom? I believe the scriptures verify that we're to seek for wisdom that comes from above and not of the earth. Earthly wisdom is so shallow. But you know, I believe God, there is a scripture that I use in my prayer a lot, and it's really concerning Christ also, but it says, grant unto me the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, and the spirit of knowledge and the fear of God. Oh, I want to tell you, when we seek for those things that are above, God will give it. When we recognize our inability, I have not the ability. And yet, to seek for it, he said he'll give it. He said, if you lack wisdom, he said, ask. And he'll give liberally. And he will not upbraid you. In other words, he won't reprove you. You should have already known that. No. You are relying on the perfect God to help you be perfect. Thank the Lord. So then it says, Daniel answered the king, because it was the same with Joseph when they said, can you interpret these dreams? And Joseph said, no, I can't. But there is a God in heaven that can give an answer of peace. And Daniel said something very similar. There is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. He's quite a specimen to follow, isn't he?
Yes.
Quite an example. He had chapter 5, verse 12. This is what it says. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom the spirit of the holy gods. It was similar said about Joseph. Where else can we find a man to lead this country in this drought whose spirit is from God? Very similar. These two cases are very similar. And it says, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods? For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding and interpreting of dreams and shewing of hard sentences and dissolving of thoughts or doubts were found in this same Daniel. Oh, what an example. Now, you and I may not be in a place ever that we will have to interpret some dream that had meaning. But I believe God wants us to be a specimen to others, an example of an excellent spirit that comes from God and not within my own humanity. So these are some real identifying marks of Daniel's example for us to follow. Daniel served four different kings, and he found favor in all four. And he was promoted in all four with each one of those kings. Why? It's because he had an excellent spirit. It's because he demonstrated where wisdom and knowledge and understanding all came from. It was from above. He gave God the glory. He gave God the praise. He didn't say, oh, I can do it. And Joseph didn't either. He says, I can't do it. It has to come from the God of heaven. Yeah. So in chapter 6, it says this, it pleased Darius, he's under another king now, to set over the kingdom three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. Oh, what an example. May others look on us and say, I believe they have something. You know, in the New Testament, those that were looking on the apostles, the disciples, and they perceived that they were unlearned men. And they even called them ignorant men. And it said they perceived that they had been with Jesus. Yes. And so maybe there will be some that will perceive something in you and me and say, I believe they've been in the closet with Jesus. The mark is on them. And so it says here, Daniel's integrity and his loyalty to God was tested. He was a man that was consistent in prayer. Prayer is so important for you and me. The word of the Lord says, pray without ceasing. I find myself praying more. I would that I could be on my knees. But as I go around, I am praying, looking to the Lord for the burden that is on my heart, for this one, for that one, for the needs. God is hearing those prayers. And you can pray without ceasing. Go about in the spirit of prayer. You may not be able to be on your knees saying a formal prayer, but you can be crying out to him. But Daniel was true and faithful to his God. He kept his integrity. He was loyal. And it cost him. The others were jealous. And they wanted to do him harm. And they tricked him. And they tricked the king. And we all know the account. The scripture says when Daniel knew that the law had been signed, you know what he did? He went and prayed, knowing that he was breaking that law. And of course, the end result, he was cast into the den of lions, and the angel of the Lord shut the mouths of the lions, and they did him no harm. Oh, it's a wonderful account of Daniel, and it's a wonderful example for you and me to follow. And the next morning, oh, when the king, and it said he fasted all night. He didn't fast from food. He fasted from sleep. He didn't sleep all night. And he went to check on Daniel the next morning. Oh, Daniel, did your God save you? And what was Daniel's answer? Oh, king, live forever. Now, there is a little tiny lesson that, well, might not be too tiny, that we need to learn in that little phrase. because he was serving a king that was, what word? He wasn't a godly king. These kings in Babylon were not godly. And I can't think of the word I'm wanting to use. But anyway, Daniel showed them honor. And you and I will do good to not speak evil of dignitaries. Don't speak evil. Oh, we may not agree, but let us not speak evil of those in leadership. God wants us to, God says he sets them up and he takes them down. And sometimes it may be hard to show honor to the king or the president. But let us do it as unto God, because that's what Daniel did. He said, "Oh king, live forever." And then he said, "My God." So then we skip on down just a little bit, and we want to mention about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had the same integrity and loyalty, and they were specimens of example to us. Oh, will we be threatened to be cast into the fiery furnace? No, we probably won't. But oh, that you and I will maintain our integrity with God as they did, and be loyal. And here's what they said when the king said, "Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" And the three Hebrew children answered, "We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not," and that's the example we want to remember, willing to go to the fiery furnace, whether they were delivered or not. "But if not, be it known unto thee, we will not serve your gods." So God is asking now for you and me to seek for an excellent spirit. To seek for an excellent spirit is to do things, or things that are done or performed in a perfect way. Oh, God is able to perfect us. And what does he also said? He said, "I will perfect that which concerneth you." He's perfecting us all along the way. We're not able to see ourselves all at one time. Life and events have a way of opening up me to me. And when it opens it up to me, and God is saying, "Here's a place I want to perfect you. I want to make some changes in your attitude, in the way that you respond." And I'm not talking about hateful, angry ways. Responding to the those events that God brings into our life. That's more important. If we humble ourselves in those events, it'll help us and take care of those places where we might feel angry and have human reactions. When we're responding to those events that he brings into our life, I read this somewhere about an excellent spirit, and an excellent spirit doesn't look for a shortcut. Daniel did not look for a shortcut. Neither did Joseph. Neither did the children of Israel, the Hebrew children. The excellent spirit intends and has purpose to live and choose the right, no matter the sacrifice. Were there sacrifices they all had to make? There's sacrifices that you and I will have to make. Have an excellent spirit. An excellent spirit produces, I don't know, I just thought of these things, produces positive influence and knows this influence will affect others. You know, we may not always see or know if our lives are having any kind of an impact at all. I often feel that way. I often feel, what good is your life? What good is your ministry? What good is happening? God does not always let us see any good. If there's any good, it's because He's breathing on it and He's blessing it. But if we maintain an excellent spirit, if we be that specimen that is able to say, follow me as I follow Christ, God will be glorified. Do you believe that? You know, there's one thing Brother Clifford Wilson said to me in my early ministry. Oh, I valued the counsel of the older ministers. But he said something to me that I have maintained and practiced all of my ministry. He said, and it's true, there will be times that individuals will say to you, oh, that was a good message. He said, don't ever take it to yourself. Roll it onto the Lord.
Yes. Yes.
Say, thank the Lord. Who was the giver of the message anyway? Did I go figure it out, or did I study it, and did I get it out of a book? No. It comes from the Spirit of God, and don't touch His glory. Don't share in His glory. Roll it onto the Lord. And that little piece of advice and counsel from Him has followed me down through my ministry. So God is to receive the glory of any good that comes from our work for Him. Then I had a thought come to me. Am I my brother's keeper?
Yes.
As being an example or being a specimen. Oh, I hope that you can get a hold of this word specimen, because it's just, I don't feel like I'm expressing it just exactly like I feel, but I am my brother's keeper, and you are too. Your neighbor. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Oh, that we may be... remember what we said. Don't know if I read this. Yes, I did. I said, and I'm saying it again. Remember, a good specimen becomes a representation of what is excellent in God's eyes. So when we... become a keeper of those around us, it's by the example, the excellent spirit of God working in us. So I know that you know this, but our examples in our life speak loudly. They'll say more than what I might be able to say with my mouth. I may not be able to really have opportunity to speak the words, but maybe that excellent spirit, that specimen of showing the example, may speak more. And then it brought it to my mind, 2 Corinthians 3, and we're going to close with this. And it's verses 2 through 6. And Paul is writing this, and he said, ye are our epistle. So we're more than just a life. Mm-hmm. We're a book.
Yes.
We can be. written in our hearts, known and read of all men. So see, it's not always going to be the words I say with my mouth. It's going to be my conduct, my example, that excellent spirit that is going out and manifesting itself as not from me, but God. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Oh, what's in the heart's going to come out. We talked a little bit about that in Sunday school, didn't we? About the words of our mouth. And the scripture says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. This maybe wasn't quoted, but let it be found acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That's the scripture. So it's what's in the heart that will come out. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. The Lord gave that to me years ago. I quote it. I pray with it. I go before the Lord. I say, Lord, I have no sufficiency of myself. My sufficiency is only of thee, who hath made me an able minister of the New Testament. You may not stand behind a desk like this, but you're a minister. In the world, you minister. We all are ministers. And we have to recognize our insufficiency, and our only sufficiency is of God, who hath made us a minister everywhere. And then it says, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. And I put in parentheses, the excellent Spirit. Or the excellent Spirit, and then it finishes up, says, giveth life. So that's our little thought today. I want to have an excellent spirit. I want to be a specimen that he can say, you see that over there? That's an example. Pray for me.